Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them in this way: "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Talk throughout Advent about the true and helpful shortcut that Advent has a double dynamism. First, God's coming to us, and then our going out to meet him. But there's really a triple dynamism in Advent, that once we have that encounter with the Lord, he wants to transform us in such a way that we start repeating that journey and going with him to encounter others, to bring them into that life-changing encounter, so that they, in turn, might live that third moment as well. Today's readings help us to focus on all three of these movements. First is the great movement of God. Why did he become one of us? Why did he come? In the gospel, we see what not only motivated Jesus' work during his public ministry, but was the ultimate reason behind the incarnation. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them. That word is your favorite, schplankna, right? Schplanknitze. His bowels were bursting with compassion because they were troubled. They were abandoned. They were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. He wanted to come into our world precisely to help us. And how did he do so? Today's beautiful prophecy from Isaiah says that when he does come, he will be gracious. He will answer as soon as he hears. He will give you the bread you need, the water for which you thirst. No longer will your teacher be hiding. With your own eyes you shall see him. While from behind a voice will sound in your ears, "This is the way, walk in it." Jesus comes with that compassion to feed us, and not just with material bread, but with himself, who is the living bread come down from heaven, to give us the living water for which our soul thirsts more than a dry, weary land in the desert. And we will be able to see our teacher with our own eyes, hear our teacher with our own ears, and actually be touched by our teacher as he grabs us with a scarred hand and leads us along the way, whispering to us through conscience what we have to do in every circumstance. With extraordinary compassion, God acts. Yesterday on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, we celebrate three things. The first is God's incredible action, the Immaculate Conception. Mary had nothing to do with it, really. She received that incredible grace. And this was God's proximate Advent in the preparation for his son, God always acts first out of compassion for the human race, for us individually and together. Second action, as we go out to meet him, and it's important to recognize that God has prepared in us a desire for that encounter. He's done it not just by what we could call the positive hungers for the bread he will give, or for thirst for the living water he will give, or our desire for instruction from a teacher who is divine wisdom in the flesh. But he also does it through our sufferings and our sorrows. The people of Israel were prepared for the Messiah, not because every day was the experience of a land flowing in milk and honey. They were crying out because of the experience of the exile. They were crying out because of their travails. O people of Zion, who dwell in Jerusalem, no more will you weep. Their tears were a preparation, so that once he came, they would pray to him so that he could answer them speedily. They would eat that bread without which we would have no life within us. They would seek to drink not just the living water, but the chalice of his blood poured out for the remission of their sins. And they wouldn't just hear what the teacher was indicating, but put what the teacher had indicated into practice. To walk in that way, he said, is the way. That's the second moment. There's something toward the end of today's reading which is quite powerful. When Isaiah prophesies for God, he will give rain for the seed that you sow in the ground. It links to the third part of the gospel, when Jesus, after having cured, after having told the disciples that the harvest is so abundant, there are so many out there who are lost, so many who are weeping, so many who have been prepared for the Messiah, but yet don't know that he's in their midst. To pray to the harvest master, not knowing that they were praying for themselves, who would be called immediately after the scene. But then he sent them out for this harvest. And Isaiah had prophesied that the harvest would be abundant, that when they sowed the seed, God would water that seed. It wasn't just the seed of the word that he was promising to water in the good soil of others. It was the very grain of wheat which was to become their life, walking in the way that their enfleshed teacher was showing, that they, like him, would fall to the ground and die, that suffer in so many ways, might even be martyred, but none of that would be wasted, that he would water that sacrifice. And then with an image, the wheat that that soil produces will be rich and abundant. Someone who shows us this transformation is Saint Juan Diego, and I'll let you pronounce his last name. Saint Juan Diego was encountered by the Lord in 1524 by the Franciscans, who brought him word. He responded immediately and was baptized. For 7 years he grew in the faith as a widower, and every Saturday and Sunday he would walk 15 miles each way to Mass, over a mountain and downward. So much did he hunger for that living bread, thirst for the living water, and desire to be instructed by the teaching that the Lord had come to bring into the world. But it was still this series of encounters between God who had come for him and his making the exertion to go out, even very early in the morning, even cold and elevated Mexico City in December. But then Our Lady appeared and wanted to send him on a harvesting mission. He didn't know it at the time, but gave him a task. and he begged off, especially after his initial seeming failures. No, 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 please, fair lady, choose somebody who's worthy that they'll listen to. She said, I have many others that I could choose, but I am choosing you. And ultimately, with his goodwill, when he did what the bishop asked and Mary indicated, that morning of December 12, 1531, when he got dressed, little did he realize that the outer garment he was about to put on would become the most famous piece of clothing of all time, in which this whole Advent message would take on his own tilma. God's desire to encounter us, our preparation to go out to meet him, and then the way that that encounter turns us to share his bowel-busting compassion for those who don't know him. Mary is that icon. She came on that tilma, pregnant, about to give birth anew to her son. And Juan Diego was her co-conspirator in bringing the new world to the new Adam. Today, as we come forward, we've got plenty of excuses why God could choose others far more capable than we. But God wants to use us. He has called us just as much as Juan Diego was called, not just for specific missions and harvesting, but to be saints. And who knows, when we dress, God might just do something with what we're wearing that'll solidify that response forever. Minimally, that's what's going to happen with our baptismal garment.